Take your seats, and if you have a Bible, would you please turn with me to the fifth chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 5. Praise God, our team are doing wonderfully, aren't they? And the 9 o'clock, you know, this is the first anniversary of the 9 o'clock service. So it's great. You guys are going somewhere fast by the grace of God. I strongly urge you to keep your own flavor, keep your own vibrancy, keep it wonderful. In Jesus' name, the Bible says a tree bears fruit after its own kind. So we know what's in you by the way you celebrate your Lord and Savior. Praise his holy name. I want to talk to you today about pressure. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, pressure is good. Hallelujah. Just remember that next time that you're under pressure. Please, Pastor P, I've got enough trouble already without you opening your mouth and telling me to enjoy pressure. Praise God. There's something about pressure which forms you. There's the right kind of pressure and there's the wrong kind of pressure. And really, you don't know what kind of pressure it is until you come out the other side of it. The Bible says that God causes all things to work together for the good, for those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. So if you are called according to God's purposes and you love him, then even bad pressure is good. So turn to your neighbor and tell him, start to enjoy pressure. Pressure is good for you. Pressure is good for me. Hallelujah. I have to remember that now. My personal trainer's at the back there laughing because every Friday morning I'm under pressure. And if you want to know what pressure is, train with Junior. Anyone else train with Junior in the house here? My goodness me. Hey, Auntie, that's why you're looking so young now. Wonderful. Praise God. It's a real blessing and a privilege to be under certain types of pressure. And I realized, looking back over my life, that it was the times of pressure that formed me. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But really, you don't know what's inside you until you come under a bit of pressure. Hallelujah. Thank God for the North Circular Road. Amen. When you're under pressure on that thing, get out of the way. Get out of the way. You know the score. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you from concerning people who were under pressure and what came out of them as a result. So we'll start with Mark chapter 5 and verse number 25. The Bible says, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and endured much at the hands of the physicians had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather grew worse. How many of you know that's pressure? I mean, if that isn't pressure, dude, I don't know what is. That she was obviously, she started out as a wealthy woman, a woman of means, enjoying herself. And there's something about, you know, that there's something about God's timing in pressure. Because if you read another story, in fact, the story just beforehand, in fact, a synagogue ruler by the name of Jairus, his daughter was sick. The Bible says, and he obviously loved her greatly because he went out looking for Jesus and he found the Lord and he convinced Jesus to go with him. Now that's an achievement in its own right because the Bible says that Jesus set his face like flint for Jerusalem. Jesus was going somewhere. He was on a mission to do something. So he was very purposeful in his ministry. But yet this man, Jairus, managed to stop him and say, please, my daughter lies sick at the point of death. Now, the Bible says that she was about 12 years old. And the Bible also notes that this woman had an issue of blood for how long? 12 years. It's interesting, isn't it? So something obviously happened at that period. While there's rejoicing in one house that a little girl is born. In the other house, a woman is sitting there who's enjoying life and suddenly she notices she's having maybe a heavy cycle or something like that. And she's starting to hemorrhage and she wonders, what is this? And yet in that period, 12 years later on, the lives of these two people collide. But both of them are under pressure, different kinds of pressure. This guy, Jairus, is about to lose the treasure of his life, his little daughter. And this woman has come to the end of her senses, and she is just desperate to find healing. She's lost all she had. She spent it, the Bible says, on all kinds of physicians. And back then, you know, I mean, there's some doctors that are kind of quack practices now. But, I mean, you imagine what it was like 2,000 years ago seeking medical help. I mean, goodness me, they'd butcher you and you know, pretend they knew what they were doing. And so we have this story where there's two types of pressure. There's the woman with the issue of blood. She's looking for this answer. The Bible says when she heard of Jesus, she said within herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And I love this because if you look in verse 27, put verse 27 up in the King James Version, please, the Kojovi Version. Because I want you to see something. Mark 5, verse 27 in the King James Version. Here we go. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. So this wasn't just a crowd, it was a press. You see, we could be accused, if we all stood outside, we could be accused of being a crowd. But then if somebody did a million-pound drop there, then you'd understand the difference between a crowd and a press, because we'd all be pushing in to get hold. And this is the intonation that the writer of the gospel is bringing out here, Brother Mark. And he is saying there was a press, there was a crowd, but it wasn't just a crowd, it was a press. And this woman came through. Now, that means that she will have applied more pressure than anyone else in the press. Do you see what I mean? There was a positive physical force in that woman driving her to that point of contact with the Lord Jesus. Because if I, we're going to read a verse in Philippians later on, but if I was to talk to you about that, the about pressing on for the prize, then that doesn't really bring across what the Lord has for you today. Because, you know, we'll say, oh, well, you know, it's raining outside, it's cold. How many of you know winter's coming in the UK? And winter is winter. I mean, the rain goes sideways. You know, it doesn't fall down. It goes straight in your face. And it's cold and foggy. And the buses are full. And they'll drive straight past you occasionally. And it's like, it's horrible. But then you could say, oh, yes, but then I press on. I press on through the sludge and the mud and the rain. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about pressing on from a point of endurance. We are talking about pressing on from a point of applying pressure. Do you understand the difference? We're not talking about dragging along ourselves and getting there full, you know, soaked wet because the bus just passed by. No, we are talking about pushing deliberately, purposefully, and proactively into the blessing of God. There's a point, you see, where we have to apply pressure. We have to push against our circumstances. And this is exactly what this woman did. One of the reasons why I love this story about pressure is that Jesus Christ had so little to do with this miracle. He didn't even know what had happened. He knew something had happened, but he didn't know what had happened. So the faith for this miracle was in the pressure of the woman. She was fully engaged in getting what she wanted. And there's a place in God for that. There's a place where you can apply your faith and you can get deliberately from God. I mean, on purpose, not by accident. You know, I've seen it so many times where we've had healing meetings, and I've done healing crusades and all sorts of stuff, particularly in the continent of Africa. And there's certain types of people there. There are people who get healed, and I would call them passive miracles, where they're sitting in the crowd and, you know, God is doing something, and all of a sudden, I don't know, God by his hand puts his hand on them and they get healed, and then they come forward and testify. But then there's others, and they are deliberately determined to get their miracle. I'm not walking away until I'm healed. I'll never forget, everyone know Temi Tayo, right? Kumba, her mother was a prime example of that to me. Because, you see, she didn't know one end of the Bible from the other. I mean, she couldn't tell you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and who. Do you understand? Who 3:16. I mean, that was the level of understanding she had of the Word of God, right? I'm not even sure she understood things like Christian doctrine and morality. Because when Temi Tayo wanted to marry Kumba, Kumba's mum said, well, why don't you have a baby with him first before you get married? He said, because then he'll see that you're fruitful and he'll want to marry you. Right? That was the kind of thinking that she had, right? So that's not Christian teaching. That's not Christian doctrine or morality. So Kumba corrected her mum. She said, mummy, her mum's in heaven now by a blessed, dear memory, powerful woman. And so Kumba sat her mum down and said, mummy, that's not the way it works in the kingdom of heaven. She said, what we do is we get married first, and then we keep ourselves sanctified until we're married, and then we enjoy sexual pleasure and babies. They come as a result of the marriage. The fruit of the womb comes as the result of the marriage. And she thought about this for about 2 weeks. She came back to Kumba, and she said, wow, she said, Pastor Paul is so brilliant, as if I made it up. She said, Pastor Paul is so brilliant. She said, I understand, because then even if you can't have kids, you're still married. It was like, that was the way. Do you understand? Now, I'm telling you this because that was the level of understanding of Christianity. But dude, she was fast to get healed. I remember the presence of God came on me for healing one time, and I picked up the mic after the worship was finished. Just God interrupted the service. And I said, there's people here and you're sick. I want you to come forward right now and I want to pray for you that God will heal you. And I mean, she was up and out of her seat as fast as lightning. She was first up there to the altar. So I asked Kumba, I said, like, how did your mum? Because her mum was old and she was like frail at the time. She was suffering from breast cancer. And I said to Kumba, I said, how did your mum get up there so quick? How many she beaten young people to the altar? She said, Pastor P, before you said a word, she was already on her way up. She said, this was her word. She said, now's my time. And she got up and she's walking forward. Now, you see, what was that? That's determined pressure faith. I'm going to get this thing. Man of God, you better bring this to me. Otherwise, I'm taking it. Do you see what I mean? And that's what I call the active pressure of faith. And you can develop your faith to such an extent that that becomes the way that you get things. There's an aggressive faith that God can give you. Like Jacob said with the angel, he says, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I don't care who you are. You can be an angel of God. You can be God himself. But I'm not letting go until you bless me. Powerful, powerful stuff. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, pressure is good. So we've got to understand the difference between endurance and pressure. There's the endurance that you have to go through on the foggy days and all that kind of stuff, right? But when Paul the Apostle says, I press on, that's not the kind of press he's talking about. The press on is I'm pushing through circumstances. I'm pushing through everything that is speaking to me. Things speak to us in the natural. Your bank balance speaks to you in the natural, whether you like it or not. And if you don't like what it's saying, you have to answer it back. The Bible says Jesus answered the fig tree. That means that the fig tree was speaking to him. So we've got to understand things speak to us, circumstances speak to us. Every time you get home and you're putting your key in your front door, if you're not liking the place where you're living, it's speaking to you. Speak back in the name of Jesus. Flat, I command you to change in the name of Jesus. Or bedsit or wherever you are. Job, I command you to change in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, we've got to apply that thing. I love what it says here. Let me get on to the next one because I want to show you another one here that I really, really love. Again, it's in the book of Mark. Now, Mark, one of the things that you can really get from Mark, if you know that you lack faith in your life, particularly the deliberate pressure faith that I'm talking about today, then the book of Mark is a great book for you to study, because Mark is the faith book. You want to learn about faith, learn from Mark. There's something about the Gospel of Mark that carries that kind of faith. You'll hear it in every story that he relates. It's very, very powerful anointing on the book of Mark to impart faith. And in fact, Kenneth Hagin, one of the great apostles of faith, people used to think that he wrote Mark 11:23 because he preached it so often. Virtually everything he preached in his life and ministry, and he went like 70-odd years, 72 years, something like that, preaching the gospel, and virtually every message that he preached had Mark 11:23 in it somewhere or other. That if you shall say to this fig tree, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt that what you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatever you say. So there's an act of the heart, and there's an act of the mouth that you engage in this thing and you deliberately apply pressure to circumstance. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, pressure is good. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 46, the Bible says, then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. There's something about the Nigerian spirit that is extraordinarily lovely. She was holding her hands like that, so I was saying love me and lovely at the same time. There's something about it that when you see someone who's from Nigeria, and we can learn from this thing, there's an aggressive spirit in many people from Nigeria that reach out and grab the thing. And many times, you know, we're far too passive in our faith. We have to learn from that thing. And actually, you know, even between tribes, there's more passivity. I think the Igbo people are a bit more passive. I may be wrong. I'm going there. Oh, really? They're more aggressive. Wow. The Yorubas are more passive. So the Yorubas should learn from. I don't want to start another war. So we'll move on. But you get the point. You can get passive people and then you can get aggressive people. And there's an aggressive kind of faith that even God himself, you think about it. This is Jesus Christ anointed by the Holy Ghost walking through a place, and a woman by her pressure on the healing anointing that's carried on him because she heard of healings and miracles. She said, wow, this guy's anointed. If I just touch his garment, I'm going to be well. From that moment on, you could put 100,000 people between her and Jesus. Somehow, she was getting there. And the Bible says, you know what? The Bible says Jesus turned around to see who had done this. And the reason why he couldn't tell who had done it was because she was on the floor. Because he's looking around like, you know, he can see his own anointing imparted into people. He's looking around for who's done this. But she's on the floor because the last dive of her life was to catch the hem of his garment as he was walking by. And he stopped and said, somebody's touched me. So he had little or nothing to do with that miracle at all. Something came out of her. Something pushed her into the next realm that she took it by force. You remember that scripture? What is it? Matthew 11:29, something like that. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent people are taking it by force. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you violent enough? Is there enough aggression in you? Ask them. Is there enough aggression? I heard the story, talking of people from Nigeria, I heard the story of Pastor Adeboye from the Redeemed Christian Church of God was preaching in London at Jesus' house. And you know, with that, when he comes, there's all sorts of security and protocol and everything like that. And it's very hard to get anywhere near him. But a woman who had been barren, she couldn't have children, heard about Adeboye coming. And she said within her heart, if I just sit in the car where he's just sat, She said, I'll take my healing, I'll have my baby. And she did, and she did. 9 months later, she brought, they had to drag her out of the car, the security. What are you doing? You imagine the mayhem and the hassle. But you see, something from within her determined a place and a point of contact. And from that moment on, no devil in hell could stop it. No human being could stop it. Do you see what I mean? What's that? That's the pressure of faith. That's the pressure of aggressive faith. May God impart it to you by my word in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And look at this scripture. He says, Jesus stopped. Right. It says, sorry, verse 48. It says, many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more. In other words, stuff what you say. I don't care. You, every single person in here could tell me, shut it. But if I need something from Jesus, and I'm going to get it. And that you see that determination. I'm going to receive this thing. I break your power, Satan, in Jesus' name. I don't care. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but I'm going through to my destiny. I'm going through to my victory. I'm going through to my breakthrough. Hallelujah. You see, we're about to close, and the reason why God gave me this word is that we're about to close the last 3 months of this year. And God determined it of our year of expansion. But you know, for some of us, the year of expansion, as Marilyn preached, has been a stretch. It's been a year of stretch for us. But for others, it has to become a year of pressure. You have to apply pressure to your faith to get that which you determined at the beginning of the year that you'd get. And it's a very powerful thing when you do. You get that determination on the inside of you, and then nothing in heaven, hell, or earth can stop you from doing it. According to your faith, be it done unto you in Jesus' name. So the Bible says he cried out all the more, and Jesus stopped, verse 49. And Jesus stopped and said, bring him here. Now, the moment he heard the words, bring him here, he knew it had happened. Because in verse 50, you see, back in the day, blind people in our generation, you can tell they're blind because they have a stick and dark glasses. In those days, they had a robe. So him throwing away his robe in verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, that was effectively casting off his blindness. That's the blind man getting rid of his stick and shooting his dog in the head. Do you understand? It's like, I'm healed or I'm dead. Do you see what I mean? I remember there was a story, oh my goodness me. Sometimes in ministry, you come across these things and you just think to yourself, dude, I hope the woman's in faith. Or dude, I hope the guy's in faith. Because you know if they're not in faith, they're dead. And that's that. There was a woman by the name, I think her name was Kemi, and it was when Pastor Dil Kumar came here back in 2009. And she was living over in Hackney, and she came to receive healing from Pastor Dil's ministry because she'd heard, you know, he's a very anointed man of God. He carries that healing ministry. Wherever he goes, people get healed. I've seen it with my own eyes myself, partaken of that anointing, and it is just a wonderful anointing that he carries. And she heard about him coming here, and she came from Hackney. She was on dialysis. She said, Pastor, this dialysis is killing me. She said, and I've determined that once Pastor Dil Kumar lays hands on my body, by faith, I'm not taking any more dialysis. She said, either I'm going to die or I'm going to get healed, but whichever way is done. Now, dude, when you hear something like that, because often, you know, common sense can challenge your faith, and your faith can challenge your common sense. So when I hear that, and I haven't heard either way, I duck. Because I don't want to have, you imagine the Daily Mail shows up here the following week, you know, faith pastor tells a dying lady to stop her dialysis, and then it shows a picture of her in the mortuary, and then me looking like this. You know how they do this media nonsense, man. They can spin any story they like. And so anyway, I thought, well, according to your faith, be it done unto you. I prayed for her and I thought, wow, we let her go. Hadn't heard anything. 3 months later, we got a letter. And bless her heart, she's a very poor lady. She sent £5 cash and a letter to the office just saying, you know, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for bringing Pastor Deal. By God's grace, I'm still alive. She didn't say whether she's healed or whether it was the last thing that she's doing in the hospice or anything. That's none of my business. She just sent that thank you letter. Now, that kind of thing, you see, you can't advise somebody. My mum tried. Oh, Jesus, help me, God. Everyone remember my mum? Yeah, she was a dear lady. But, dude, when it came to, like, you know, she had a bit more faith than other people. That's the only way I can describe it. And there was this woman that we led to the Lord by the name of Rosemary, very sweet lady back in the days of Barnfield School. And Rosemary had a very difficult history in the area of mental illness. She had had several psychotic episodes. She tried to kill somebody. She tried to kill herself. I think she jumped in front of a tube or something, like, horrible situation, really, really devastating mentally. And so anyway, she ends up at Harvest and she gets saved, gets born again, got baptized, and she was growing really well in the Lord and everything like that. One day, she's sitting beside my mum in church in Barnfield. And we were praying for each other or something like that. And my mum turned, you know, hi, what's your name? Rosemary. Oh, hi. Is there anything I can pray for you for? She says, well, I'm on antipsychotic drugs and I've had this, that, and the other. My mum says, oh, you don't need those. Chuck them away. I'm thinking, dude. And my mum didn't tell me immediately. She told me about a month after. So by the time I heard about this, this lady is a month off of all medication. I mean, not even, because they tell you to come down, right? Odie, yeah, because Odie's a psychiatric nurse. So they tell you to come down and reduce your dose. Dude, those tablets were gone, flushed into the sweep by and by. And here I am, like, then what do I do? Do you see what I mean? I'm stuck. I said, well, okay, thank Jesus for wisdom. I said, okay, just, you know, go see your GP and just check how you're doing. And by God's grace, she got a clean bill. Clean bill of health. Yeah. Now, dude, please, don't go giving me shocks like that. You understand? But this is the thing. You see, when something has dropped, when that penny has dropped of faith, you got to apply pressure. Let me close by this now. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. And it's a very common piece of scripture. But I want you to see something here. You see, we often get the wrong idea, like I said, about pressing on, right? That somehow, you know, life's against me, everything's against me, my bank balance is against me, my children's against me, my marriage is against me, my husband's against me, my future's against me, my past is against me, but I press on. And that's not what God is talking about here in this passage of scripture. He says, not that I've already obtained or already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold. Now, he says in another verse, he talks about forgetting what is behind, right? In fact, it's, where is it? 14, isn't it? Press on to the goal of the prize for the upward, blah, blah. Where does it say forgetting? Oh, there we go. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Why do you have to forget what's behind? Because you imagine, right, you're about to go into a boxing ring and you're about to get your blessing. And the guy who you've got to fight for your blessing is about a foot taller than you and a foot wider. You can't go in there with a backpack on as well. Have you ever seen a boxer getting into the ring with a rucksack on his back and 40 kgs? No, why? You know the dude's finished, right? And that's why we forget what is behind. You take off what is behind so that you're ready to push and to press and to fight that good fight of faith for the future. Because it's the future that determines your destiny, not your past. Brethren, I do not regard myself having laid hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching for what lies ahead. Verse 14, I press on. I apply pressure to the future of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let me give you an example. Let me say this. That word press on, literally, if you like taking notes, take this down. That word I press on, that word press means maximum sustainable pressure. Maximum sustainable pressure. So that's like when you get in the gym and Junior sees you and he thinks, ha, this guy's skinny, let's add some weight. And you have to apply maximum sustainable pressure so you can bench press that. What did I do Friday, Junior? 60 kilos, because it's an Olympic bar and there was 220s each side, was it? 80. The guy, you know what he does? He puts bits on when you're not looking. My goodness me. Does it all the time. I see him just like click, click, like that. So that's maximum sustainable pressure to get there to where you've got to be in Christ Jesus. Apply that pressure of faith. Maximum sustainable pressure. Let me borrow Godfrey, Awofapi, Charlo, Ralph, 1 second. Okay. Now you imagine that these guys are circumstances, right? Oh, let me share this personal testimony with you. 2017, 2016 was a really rough year for me, like intensely rough, really, really, really difficult year. And I had slipped back into the area of self-pity. And you know what? The Lord has a way of dealing with self-pity, because there's certain personalities, they call them melancholy personalities. So you can gravitate towards things that are sad. A lot of Irish people, for some reason, particularly the further west you go, you get a lot more melancholia. It's to do with the weather or something. I don't know what it is. You know, statues of Mary or something. I haven't got a clue what it is, but there's something about it. And I've had to battle that over my life. Things like, you know, they call it depression, but depression is really rooted in two things. Sad thoughts. And I loved what Sumi, I heard you on Premier Radio talking about the definition of depression. Continually thinking sad thoughts. And I thought, wow, because God had spoken to me January of this year, and he said, for this year, you are not allowed to think sad thoughts. I forbid you from thinking sad thoughts. Now you imagine, for some people, that's half our brain power gone. I'm not allowed to. Do you see what I mean? But God told me that. He said, that's your mandate for this year. I forbid you from thinking sad thoughts, right? So, circumstance number one. So-and-so in ministry doesn't like me anymore. Won't take my calls. Won't answer me. You know, I've done everything I can to walk in love towards him, but somehow he's just dissed me. Now, you know, I could go, oh, poor old me. Here I am trying to do this and that for Jesus, and, you know, woe is me, for I am undone, right? Circumstance number two, the parking issue out here. These guys are pushing against me, and Steve, the caretaker spirit, is coming on them to try and to manipulate and damage me ministerially, right? Now, circumstance number three, my wife's gone. I've got to look after the whole house myself. She's off ministering. I've got to walk the dog. I've got to scoop his poop. I've got to cook dinner. I've got to pick the children from school. I've got to blah, blah, blah. Do you see what I mean? Circumstance number four, my blood pressure's raised and all kinds of things are working against me. Now, guys, push against me, all four of you, right? What have I got to do to make sure I get, come on, you're not even trying. What have I got to do to make sure that I reach the end of my faith? I've got to apply maximum sustainable pressure. Hallelujah. God, you guys are strong, man. Woo! Praise God. So, pick this mandate from God. You see, when the woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus, right, and she came behind in the press, she knew, she had heard from heaven. She didn't know it was heaven she'd heard from, but she had heard from heaven, right? There's things that's got, maybe if you're of a melancholy personality, then what you need to do is to fast sad thoughts for a year. Every time a sad thought wanted to come my way, I said, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to think that way. And I put that barrier up because the cave of self-pity, you see, self-pity and sad thinking equals depression. You can't have sustainable depression without self-pity because it always ends up in you. You can't have sustainable depression without thinking sad thoughts because it always ends up. And then who becomes the center of our universe if we're thinking sad thoughts? We do. And anything that focuses on self causes implosion. So that was my own personal testimony. I'm getting there in the name of Jesus, but I want you to have yours. Apply pressure to the end of this year. Apply it deliberately by faith. Get something, get a testimony, and don't let heaven, earth, or under the earth stop it in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we think God's our enemy. Really and truly, we think God's our enemy. Oh, Lord, why? Look at the state of you. Do you see what I mean? We've got to push into that blessing. Push into it. Push. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, pressure is good. If you got something out of it this morning, give the Lord thanks and praise. We'll stand to our feet. I just want to pray for you. Father, in the journey of life, in the journey of faith, where your people are pressing on, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that they would apply pressure in the right way, in Jesus' name. Any circumstance speaking to them that doesn't line up with your word for them, for greatness, for salvation, for healing, for prosperity, for ambassadorship, Lord God, let them answer back by faith and fire, in Jesus' name, amen.